The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Wise words, Anthony. Wise words. Words worth living by, I suppose.
It sounds like it, Booker Tov.
Good morning.
I just wanted to start with a little update. Yesterday during my chat with you, I said there'd been some breaking news and it wasn't exactly clear what had transpired. There was a shooting incident. In the end, it turns out that this was some sort of an altercation taking place in the Arab town of Tamra. There were apparently shots that were fired towards a house in the town, and then some shots that were fired towards police who had come along to see what was going on. And when the police were fired upon, they returned fire. And in the process of returning the fire, they actually killed two people, and two people were injured. And it transpires that one of those people who were killed was actually a passerby, not even involved in the incident. And another of the people who were injured was also similarly not involved in the incident at all, but just passing by, while the other person who was killed and one of the other injured were involved somehow in the incident, and some people got away. So this was just a summary from yesterday. Unfortunately, then a funeral took place, which attracted thousands of people attending the funerals of the people who were killed, and of course protests against police action because of the fact that innocent passers-by were unfortunately caught up in this gunfire. So that was just the little incident from yesterday morning. There's no clear evidence of what was involved, whether it was just some sort of an altercation, whether there was some criminal activity going on. All of that hasn't been yet made clear as yet, but I'm sure that there will be further investigations and a lot more to be said about this incident in the future.
Absolutely, no doubt, but thank you for keeping us updated on that. Prime Minister Netanyahu has spoken about the gradual reopening of the Israeli economy starting next week as Israel comes out of its third lockdown. What are the plans, Anthony?
Well, the Corona Cabinet is due to meet today in order to decide upon next steps. Our expectation is that they may well not decide today, because that seems to be in the history of how this Corona Cabinet works. They announce a day, they're going to sit down, they argue until the middle of the night. We wake up in the morning to find out that there are no decisions that have been made and another meeting has to take place. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case as well today. But as things stand at the moment, our current lockdown is due to end on Friday morning. The airport is due to reopen on Sunday morning. We know that the Prime Minister is in favor of two things, the first of which is to extend the lockdown over the weekend from Friday until Sunday. So many people ask, well, what's the point of just extending it for 2 days, and why would he stick his neck out just to have that two-day extension? The answer seems to be that, as he says, it means that 200,000 more people will be vaccinated during that time. And so therefore extending the lockdown, even if it's just over the weekend for 2 days, means that another at least 200,000 people can become vaccinated. The vaccination program has reached a situation where something like 30% of Israelis have been vaccinated. The number of people who are turning up to be vaccinated has significantly reduced. Initially there was a mad rush. Now I think anybody could simply turn up, of any age, of any, whatever group you fall into, you could turn up at one of the vaccination centers and be vaccinated without a problem. There have been some issues about issuing vaccine from the refrigerated facility and having not to be able to use it up during the course of that day, because the vaccine, once it's out of the refrigeration, has to be used on that day. So there have been stories about people turning up at the end of the day and vaccine being used up, even for people who are not part of the particular group that are being vaccinated at the moment. And also, unfortunately, stories of vaccine having been thrown away because there aren't enough people to use it up during the course of that day. However, the vaccination program continues. The Prime Minister said his aim is to vaccinate over 90% of people who are over the age of 50 by the time next week comes along, or within the next 2 weeks. So I think that that's going to be a challenge. The main challenge is that because we're finding within the Arab sector and within the Haredi sector that people are not turning up in large numbers. And when we add those two groups together, they constitute something like 40% of Israel's population. So it's two significant groups who are really not somehow turning up in large numbers. And they are the ones who really need to turn up because their communities are being infected at a much higher rate than everybody else. So the plan is just to try and get the vaccine rolled out as much as possible. And then from next week, try to slowly but surely open the economy. It's not clear what that involves. There is talk about kindergartens returning back to school again to attend in person. There is also talk about very, very slowly opening up, allowing restaurants to potentially deliver takeaways as well as deliveries to home. So that would be a slight relaxation of the rules. But it's not clear exactly how the reopening is going to take place. And to be honest, we don't really see a massive reduction in the number of people being infected. I mean, there has been a slight reduction, but it's not the level that we would have expected and that we've seen in previous lockdowns. And particularly now with the impact of the vaccination, we're expecting to see, we're hoping to see a little bit more. So the Prime Minister seems to be intent upon extending the lockdown just for those couple of days, but also to very much get on the road next week of what he would call a slow reopening. Quite what that means, I hope we will learn a little bit more if they come to some decisions today, or at least before Friday morning when the reopening is due to begin.
Absolutely. Very, very strange that Israel isn't seeing that reduction. I would have thought by now this would have started to become much more apparent.
I would have thought so too. And, you know, we did see in the previous two lockdowns that there was a significant reduction in the numbers. It took three or four weeks, but all of a sudden we just saw a real easing on the medical facilities, on the medical staff. And this time around, we haven't really seen it to the same degree. I think it would be fair to say perhaps a slight reduction, perhaps a plateauing out might be a better way of describing it rather than the massive increases that we were seeing before the lockdown. But this lockdown, as I've said before, also hasn't been enforced quite as stringently as previous lockdowns have. And so one wonders whether it would have been different had people adhered to it a little bit more stringently or had it been more closely policed to force people. But I think people are just getting really tired of having to stay home, of having to suffer the economic frustrations. It's not surprising that the lockdown is not quite as stringent. But in the meantime, you know, the vaccination, in spite of the fact that the number of people turning up for vaccines has reduced, there's a report that says that 100,000 people were vaccinated yesterday. And so, you know, the 200,000 in 2 days does seem something that could realistically be achieved if people are getting, turn out to be vaccinated.
Absolutely. Iran has begun enriching uranium with even more centrifuges than was previously the case. It's very worrying. Where do things currently stand with the Iranian nuclear program? We were chatting about it on air earlier. It's very confusing.
Well, there is no doubt that Iran over the last few years has consistently been transgressing the nuclear agreement that was struck in 2015, where it was agreed that Iran would only enrich uranium to a 3.67 purity level, which is suitable for producing civilian nuclear energy, but way below the 90% that is required for weapons-grade uranium. So we know that Iran has been transgressing that, and more than that, has also been using more centrifuges than were agreed in that 2015 agreement. The International Atomic Energy Agency has confirmed this. The international community, not so much. It's only really the U.S. that has pulled itself out of that agreement and imposed sanctions on Iran, while the rest of the countries, the remaining signatories to that agreement, have still given Iran the benefits as if though they had been adhering to the agreement, which of course has not been the case. Now, what we know is that at the Natanz Enrichment Center, the Iranians have recently been upgrading the centrifuges and they've been implementing new clusters of these centrifuges. They had one of these new clusters, a much more efficient machine, and producing, you know, much more uranium than was the case before, enriched uranium than was the case before. They had one of these clusters already working. They had two clusters that were ordered some time ago, one of which we understand has now gone into operation, a third one which is almost ready to go into operation. But, you know, there are some people who are saying, well, Iran is upping the ante now against the Biden administration, so that when the moment comes that Biden's administration will open the discussions with the Iranian government about their nuclear program, then Iran will say, well, we've now got these three new clusters working, so we'll give up one in return for which you will give us something. So they're going to have more bargaining tools available to them to be able to negotiate with the Biden administration. The more they do now, the more they will have to negotiate with. That's one sort of view. But the truth of the matter is that these new clusters have been on order already for some time, have been implemented under implementation for some time. So I'm not sure that this is really something that's purposefully being directed towards the Biden administration or to try to create a situation, to create a negotiating position with the new Biden administration. In addition to what's happening in Natanz, we also know that there's been a lot of more work going on in Fordow, which is this a center that's dug into a mountain. And we understand that Iran has actually been enriching uranium to a 20% purity level at Fordow. And in fact, even the Iranian ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency has tweeted about the fact that they've got these new centrifuges at Fordow that are being, that are, you know, enriching uranium to a much higher level than was agreed upon in the 2015 agreement. So all of this is extremely worrying. Obviously, Israel is keeping its eye on things very, very carefully. But as things stand right now, according to Israel's energy minister, Dr. Yuval Steinitz, he said it would take Iran about 6 months to produce enough fissile material for one nuclear weapon. That is a seriously worrying situation.
I anticipate, and I don't know, I don't want to be negative about this, or maybe it's positive actually, but I can't see this remaining, Israel standing and just waiting for this to happen over the next 6 months. I wouldn't be surprised at all if some kind of a major event was to take place in the next short while.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens on the diplomatic front, because I'm not, you know, I don't know whether Israel is somehow trying behind the scenes to encourage the Biden administration to take some diplomatic steps which will make a difference. I suspect that Israel is probably working on two or three different fronts, one being the diplomatic front, but also potentially working on something else. So I tend to agree with you, Howard. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
It will indeed. And I do apologize. We are already out of time. That was my fault. I came in, unfortunately, just a little bit late. I asked you to join a little bit late. So we'll have to pick up the rest of these stories, which are very interesting. We'll pick them up tomorrow. It is 8 o'clock. That was Anthony Reich with the Israel Report.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.